Thank you. All right, shalom to you. Yeah, children, you may go to your classes. Thank you. All right, good morning, church. Bless you in the name of Jesus. All right, this morning I'm going to preach from a couple of passages. So let us read those passages and then I'll go into the sermon. The first text comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verse 4 to verse 11. So if you have a Bible with you, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to verse 11. All right, verse 4 talks about the gifts of Trinity. I'll just quickly explain to you. Verse 4 says, there are diversity, but the same Spirit. You talk about the diversity of gifts coming from the Holy Spirit. So talking about the gifts from the Holy Spirit. And then verse 5, it talks about there are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Lord refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. And this is the fivefold ministry being mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. And then verse 6, it says, there are diversity of activity, but it is the same God who works all in all. And so here it talks about the diversity of activities or gifts coming from God the Father. All right, so here it is not a repetition to keep the Bible long, but it is actually talking about the gifts of Trinity from the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then verse 7, it talks about, elaborates about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They call it the manifestation of the gift. Let me read from verse 7 to verse 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of the miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of the Spirit. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And then Nick's going to go through the list of the gifts of the from God the Father, which is from Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to verse 8. So please turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to verse 8, please. Thank you. All right, are you there? Oh, good. Verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have been many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. And he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then the last set of gifts is coming from God the Son, taken from Ephesians chapter 4, the fivefold ministry. And I will read from verse 7 to verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gifts to men. Now, this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then verse 13 says, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then the last verse comes from the book of Jeremiah, verse 4 to verse 10. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4 to verse 10. And here it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctify you. I ordain you a prophet to the nation. Then say I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I sent you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and to throw down, to build and to plant. All right, let us pray. Father, thank you for the different portions of the scripture you have given us, and help us to put all these things together so that we can see the coherent picture, Lord, in what you are saying to us. And so I pray, Father, as we begin to dig, Lord, the scripture, that you will reveal those treasures to us. And I know, Father, that this Christian journey is a long journey, and because many people may be disappointed, maybe discouraged because of the circumstances they are facing, and because some of the setbacks and so on and so forth along the way. But nonetheless, Lord, you use this word to encourage your people. I pray, Lord, you anoint, Lord, your servant to speak your word with clarity, that every word that comes forth from my mouth will be the life and spirit from you, and that it will inspire our people, it will stir them up, and it will bring them, Lord, to walk in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake, to glorify you. And so I pray you anoint also the people to be receptive to your word, that they will receive it like a sponge receives the water, and that they will indeed, Lord, this word will be planted in their hearts, and it will be fruitful and will bring forth good fruits in their life. And so, Lord, Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son. And God's people say, amen. Amen. All right, this I have not forgotten the series that I started many months ago, and it is on the dispensationalism, but I will not continue with that series today. I will do it another time, but this morning I felt led to kind of shift gear and speak on the subject to remind and to challenge all of us, because as I said in my prayer, the Christian journey is a long journey, and along the way, you will face a setback and discouragement. And sometimes we need to be reminded of God's goodness in our life and what God has given us in terms of giftings and calling. And we need to stay faithful to those things. And so therefore, the title of my sermon this morning is called Being Faithful to God's Gifting and Calling. And so I hope to take you further, to lift you higher, and to respond to God's gifting and calling, and utilize your gifting and fulfill your full potential in God. And so this message should be relevant to everyone, whether you are a student, you're a businessman, or working professional, or worker, or housewife, or the most recent convert. Now, it is not only for pastors or full-time staff. No one is excluded because there are no qualifying requirements. And that, as I said, there are three sets of gifts that the God of Trinity has given to the children. They are first the gifts of God the Father, and second the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then thirdly I'll mention the gifts of the Son, the Lord Jesus. And so let me quickly now go through the gifts of God the Father, and this is found in Romans chapter 12 verse 4 to verse 8. And it comprises seven different foundational gifts. First is the gift of prophecy. Second is the gift of ministry, more appropriately called the gifts of helps. And then the third is the gift of teaching. The fourth is the gift of exhortation. The fifth is the gift of giving. And sixth is the gift of leadership. And seventh is the gift of mercy. Now, the gifts of God the Father are actually the foundational gift of the inherent traits that are given to you since your childhood. It is about your life motivation, your life passion, and what you find joy in doing. What energizes you, your personality trait, and the spiritual DNA in you. And so it is actually like your spontaneous instinct to the situation in life. And first, let me talk about the gift of prophecy. Many people have a kind of wrong concept of what prophecy is. Now, in terms of the foundational gift, you're talking about a person who has a strong sense of right and wrong. Right? You are very vocal, and you're very motivated to voice what is right and what is wrong based on God's value. And you are very forthright with the word. And so you are actually forthtelling based on God's value system. That means you are very forthright with your word, but you are not foretelling. And so there are two aspects of prophecy. One is forthtelling, just a spokesman, a mouthpiece for God. And the other aspect is foretelling. You are predicting something. So that is not what I'm talking about. This is a foundational gift. It's mainly being forthtelling. So I hope it clarifies. A second thing is the gift of ministry. As I said, more appropriately called the gifts of help. So you are very motivated to meet people's practical needs and to help people. And then the third is the gifts of teaching, quite self-explanatory, motivated to explain things and having people understand and apply God's truth. And then the fourth is the exhortation. You are very motivated to have the people being stirred up, being encouraged, and being motivated. And so you challenge people. And then the fifth gift is the gift of giving. You're motivated to supply people or churches with the material or the resources that they need. And then the sixth is the gift of leading. You're motivated to organize and to direct and to lead others. And then the seventh is the gift of mercy. That means you're motivated to relieve the feelings of others in distress or suffering. So every born-again person, right, has one or more of this gift, but not all the seven gifts. So you may have one or two which are very dominant, and then the other are very secondary. And so the foundational gift of the Father is inherent, is permanent, and is resident in every person. And so that is basically summarizes the gifts of from the God the Father. And then the next set of gifts are gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to verse 11. And these gifts are actually quite prevalent in the Pentecostal and the charismatic churches. But nowadays, the modern Pentecostal and the charismatic churches seem to have kind of lost touch with this gift. But nonetheless, this gift may be bestowed upon you after you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the first one is the gifts of the word of wisdom. The second one, gift of knowledge. The third is the gift of faith. The fourth is the gift of healing. And then fifth is the gift of miracle. Sixth is the gift of prophecy. Seventh is the gift of discernment. And the eighth is the gift of speaking in other tongues. And the ninth is the interpretation of tongues. Now, as for the third set of gifts, it is a fivefold ministry gift of Christ the Son. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 13. And everyone is given a certain grace or a measure of Christ's gifting to support the fivefold ministry. Now, some people are very apostolic. By that I mean they like to support or do mission work, mission-related work. Some people are very evangelistic. They like to share the gospel. And some are very pastoral. It's very natural for them to show love and concern for the people around them. And so, though everyone has a certain grace or measure of Christ's gifting, but among them, only some are eventually given one or two of the fivefold public office as an apostle or prophet or evangelist or pastors or teachers. Now, in other words, though all believers can function or operate in some of this Christ gifting, but some, only some, are eventually called to the public office of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, or teachers. And so now you can see that the fivefold office ministry is a calling gift of public office. It's a calling gift of a public office. And so having listed the three sets of gifts, it looks like there are duplications, as you can see in this chart here. In the gifts of prophecy and teaching, now the simple explanation is this. Though some gifting may be the same, but they operate at the different level. Some having higher visibility than others, and then others operating more in the background. And so this is my simple explanation. As I said, this is just a brief outline of the three sets of gifting. So now I come to the fourth area, which is what I call, there are some wonderful things about God giftings and calling. And so number one, God gifting and calling begin with His foreknowledge. Because God's calling does not begin in a newspaper column, say, situation is vacant, or through employment agency or career counseling session, and we do not apply for the job. God initiates the gifting and the calling, and He invites us. And so for every one of us, God gifting and calling began in eternity past, preceding even before our conception or birth. And that's why God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, He said, I knew you. Wow. So the omniscience of God is beyond our comprehension. It is called foreknowledge. He knows in advance and arranged the very minute details of our life from eternity past. And so He is the unseen hand on the tiller of our life. And so let me personalize this for myself. Yeah. Philip Chia, what are you doing here in this church? Now let me tell you how eventually I became a pastor. Now my call only became clear in the middle phase of my life. And prior to that was like preparation that I did not even realize then. And so He first called us to Australia, my family to Australia. And through vision, the Lord revealed to my wife the exact date that our immigration visa would be approved. And then He would fulfill it to the very exact detail. And so it really frightened me out of my life. And this is just to tell us that there is a calling behind coming to Australia. And so actually, I have a secret fear, even though there is also this heart desire to come to Australia. And so the first instruction was, first sell your asset in Singapore and come to Australia. Now, I thought I came here to semi-retire, you know, go for an easy job, play golf, and then, you know, buy a fishing boat and go fishing. And then after retirement, and maybe help out some churches in the teaching, because I find it is my passion. And so I found a job and tried to work out my semi-retirement plan. I resisted God for a couple of years, but there is no rest and no fulfillment in my life. And so finally, I yielded to God's calling and gifting in my life. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm willing, you know, to serve you. And so God started calling me to quit my job and get into some years of serious, systematic Bible study. I did the Bible correspondent course. And before I could work these things out, He called me to a kind of full-time role to plant a church through a collaboration with a pastors from Singapore and also from a British American pastor called Pastor Brian Bailey. Now, I'm not worthy to be called, so it's purely by His grace. Now, semi-retirement, thrown out of the window. And so once a while, my children still tease me, Dad, where is the fishing boat? So now I'm content to do fishing, you know, just pay $120 maybe once or twice a year and then rent out a boat with some people and go out fishing, you know, which is more fun, right? Great. So God's calling and gifting actually are different for different people, but there is still a call to service. It is not fate, F-A-T-E. It is not chance. It is not coincidence. It is the call and providence of God, ordained by God before we were born and revealed to us in different ways. Now, some through very clear words. Now, some through our life motivation, and some through our passion. And so, the providence of God is a very mysterious thing. But God is working behind the scene. So, for example, when God sent the evangelist Philip to the desert to meet the Ethiopian, there were two interesting facts. Philip had to walk, and the Ethiopian was actually riding on a chariot. And so for the meeting to take place, Philip had actually to leave Samaria about 2 days before the Ethiopian leave Jerusalem. But God did something supernatural for Philip to meet the Ethiopian. And so God's providence was at work before we knew it. And then when Abraham's servant was sent on a journey, he prayed, "Lord, guide me, you know, to find this bride for my master's son." He said, "Let the first one be the one." An incredible story. And then Rebecca was the bride, was the first one that he met. And she became the bride for Isaac. And so this was providence at work. And so God's providence was at work before we knew it. And when we respond to God's calling and gifting, it links us to His eternal destiny. Never believe in evolution or some fluke or chance or mathematical probability. One of the trillion planets in the galaxy has to sustain life, and it just happened to be this one. No, not by chance, because there is a hand on the tiller of the universe. And there is a God who numbers the stars and count the hair on your head. And there is a God who is directing our earth and world events. And there is a Father in heaven who is watching over us. And God has known us before conception and is actively working in our life. And so those who are led by the Spirit are His children. And so be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because the God who started it will finish it. And He is the Jesus. He is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And so neither the September 11, nor the Ukraine war, nor the Israel-Hamas war surprised God, nor dismay Him. Because God is in control and working out world events. And then number two, every believer is born with a preordained earthly purpose. And listen to the words of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you." He said, "I ordained you a prophet to the nation." And so God's purpose for you on earth was initiated before you were born. And His purpose comes with the gifting and the calling He has bestowed upon your life. And when we respond to God's calling and gifting, it sets us apart and links us with God's given purpose for you and for others. But you may say, "I can't." You may say, but the God is the God who equips. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 24 says, "The God who calls is faithful and He will do it." And so the call and giftings of God does not only mean go to Bible college, be a missionary, learn to be a preacher, or be a full-time staff. Whether it is high visibility or low visibility one, they are all important roles in the kingdom of God. So in fact, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23, it says, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor." And so may the Holy Spirit quicken your spirit, stir up the gifting that God has given you, just as Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. And so may your heart have a clear witness. "I speak these words to you because God said, I have made you for a purpose for your lifetime." And the call and the gifting of God is your earthly destiny. The passion that God put in your life to fulfill an earthly vision. It is the reason why you were born. It is the cause for which you live. And it is what motivates you, your passion, your drive, and what compels you. Also, it will lift you higher and takes you further than what you had hoped for. And so when God spoke those words to Jeremiah of his gifting and calling, he took no account of his inexperience. Because God's word is his enabling despite his inexperience due to age. So Jeremiah, you may be just a lad with no experience, but the call of God is greater than experience. And God will progressively build your experience. And there's no prior experience requirement. God's called people at all ages of life and from all walks of life. And God's gifting and calling took no account of your nationality or culture. It is not limited by geographical location or cultural background or heritage. And Jeremiah may think, God, you got the wrong guy at the wrong time, in the wrong place. But God says, no, Jeremiah, you are the person. But God says, you are the person for this town, for this state, for this nation. You're not here through some twist of fate, some roll of the dice, or by chance. You are where you are for a purpose. And this is a place, and you are the person. So God's calling and gifting is expressed in a unique creation. You are a unique kind. So thirdly, you are unique creation when God formed you in the womb. God is into creating and not into cloning. Every blade of grass is different. No snowflakes, two snowflakes are the same. No two fingerprints are alike. Every human being is unique. Just look around. Some are tall, some are short, some are dark, some are fair, some have sharp faces, some are square faces, some are thin and some are broad. I better stop there. Now, when he made you, he threw away the previous plan. We could not have the two as the same two Philip. And he doesn't duplicate, but individually forms and he fashioned us. Just as we have individuality, so the Lord, God's calling and gifting over our life is unique. Now, Saul offered David his armor. We don't wear somebody else's armor. Neither do we run someone else's race. Because each of us has our own course and race to run. The mantle of Elijah fell on Elijah. He struck the water and departed. But you never hear the mantle mentioned again. And God had a different call for Elisha. And so Elijah's mantle initiated Elisha's ministry. But Elisha ran his own course and he wore his own mantle. Now, Adam is the father of humanity. Noah was called to restart humanity on earth. And Abraham was the father of faith. And Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Moses was to lead Israel out of Egypt from Pharaoh's oppression. But Joshua was to lead Israel into the promised land. So each one has a unique role and a part in different generations of human history. Now, thank God for the past, but yesterday was gone. There was a generation for the past. This is the day, and you are the person for your circle of friends, your colleague, and your neighbor. And thank God for Vigor Smith, but he's dead. And you are the person. Thank God for Billy Graham, but he has raised the next generation. And he has passed the baton to the next generation. And this is our day. And you are the person for the present generation. And thank God for the various ministries. They have their part to play. Now, you are not an extra or peripheral. You have a part and a role to play. And some say, I want Billy Graham anointing or Catherine Koopman's anointing or Reinhard Bonnke anointing. And because God has fashioned and shaped everyone's life uniquely, custom designed, and he has a unique anointing for you, for some task, for some people, at the place where you are. And your learning or your workplace is different from mine. Your relative and friends are different from mine. Your neighborhood is different from mine. And here is the God, is the good news. God equipped us everything that we need to fulfill His call and gifting in our life. Now, there are Christians tasked to break new frontiers in the jungle of South America and who have to live a hard life, a condition to win the cannibals' tribes for the Lord. And we thank God for them. Now, some are called to feed the poor and provide for the needy and look after their welfare, while others are called to reach out to the drug addicts, the alcoholic, the street kids, and some are called to minister to dignitaries, to people in high places. And God calls different people to reach out to other people with different needs. And so praise God for all the work they are doing, because God called different people to reach out to different people's group with different needs. Whatever God has called, He will equip you. And He will give you the grace to do His will, to do what you have been called to do. Now, God will not give you the grace of what you have not been called or gifted to do. And so, stick to your call and your gifting, because God had a call for Peter that would eventually cost him his life. But Peter wanted to meddle into what is not within his jurisdiction or prerogative. And so in John 22:21, Peter said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And then Jesus replied, "If I will that he will remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And when God has called you for something, do not worry about what others should or should not do. Because just be faithful and do your best what God has called and gifted you to do. And do not, why do you want to nose into what is not within your jurisdiction? You are responsible and you are answerable to God for your calling and your gifting, not others. So Jesus is essentially saying, if I will that he does this or that, what is that to you? And so Romans 12 tells us three things about God's will. If it's good and pleasing, it will build your life and you'll grow your character. It will always do something good. If it is perfect and pleasing, it will bring immense satisfaction into your life. It will be a good fit for you, and God does not put square pegs in round holes. And so the gift and calling of God will release you to fulfill God's ordained purposes. Now, yes, God has created you this way for this purpose, and you are the person. And then, fourthly, God wants to set you apart, what we call a divine consecration. The response to the call and gifting of God requires changes in your life and sets you apart from others as God places a claim on your life. Jeremiah, if I set you apart, we call this consecration or sanctification. Some people call it holiness. And so there are two dimensions to this. We are separated from sin and we are separated unto God. And so Ephesians 4, Paul expresses two aspects of this phrase. It says, put off and then put on. Like a coat, put this off and then put another thing on. Put off the old way of life. Put on the new way of life. Put off falsehood, lying. Put on speaking the truth. Put on the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the slander, the malice. Put on kindness, compassion, forgiveness. And when Betty Merz came to Jesus, he threw off his beggar's cloak and I don't need this anymore. The beggar's cloak represented his old life and he wanted no part of it. Off, out they went, no more. And he has put on a new coat, a new liberated life in Christ. And so God is making a claim, a greater claim. Put on your old life, break his hold, toss it out. Throw down the stronghold, because the call of God places a greater demand on your life, sanctification. And by love, put on kindness, compassion, forgiveness, self-control, etc. When we begin to serve one another, we consider others more important than we consider ourselves. And so began to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And God has set Jeremiah apart. He said, I have a prophet's coat for you. Wear it. Get rid of the other coat. Wear this coat. And this call will lift you from the natural to the supernatural, from the earthly to the heavenly. And the call of God will take you higher. And then, fifthly, it is a transnational commission. He said, I appointed you to reach out to the nation, paper S, across culture. And so if God is calling and gifting, is taking you higher, it will take you further because you are prophets to the nation. God's calling and gifting leave you beyond the limitation of geography and culture. Jeremiah, you are the person, not only for Judah, but for the nation. And so God has a global plan because the Bible says God so loved the world, not just a particular nation. He loved all the nations of the world. In Abraham, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. As truly as I live, the earth shall be filled, the Lord says. Go and make disciples of all nations and all peoples group of the world. And in the book of Revelation, I heard the voice of a great multitude and every tongue of every tribe, every nation around the throne. And worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And by your blood, you have redeemed us from every nation, every people's group and culture. God loves the Muslim, the Buddhist, the Hindus, and He wants them all saved. I heard of a missionary report that hundreds of thousands of Hindus are considering changing their faith. Now they are among the lowest of the lowest caste, the people with no status and downtrodden, and their next life is so vague and they see no hope and are considering leaving their religion and pray that they will turn to Christianity rather than Islam or Buddhism. Now the news doesn't surprise me because God wants all tribes of the nations to be saved. And He said to Jeremiah, you are the man, you are the man for the nations with the S. And when individual or church or denomination has a vision only for their own kind of people, they face the danger of becoming not cooperating with God's plan. Now the Jerusalem church resisted the idea that Gentiles could be saved and made the requirements that Gentile Christians had to be circumcised. And so God began to use the Antioch church who knew and cooperated with His global purpose. And so get a vision for the nations beyond your race or culture or shoreline. Now we collaborated with the Cornerstone Chinese Church and embarked on some mission work in China. And we also have some past mission work in Indonesia. And then in this church, of course, we have people coming from different nations and different cultural groups. And so it is exciting to participate in God's global plan. The call of God will take you further. And so in conclusion, in all of this, Jeremiah still had to respond to the call. It's because God's call does not mean that you have no choice. You still have a choice of free will. And so Jesus called while the fishermen Andrew and Peter were casting their net. And He called James and John while they are mending their nets. And He called Matthew while he was collecting taxes. They all make a choice to leave their profession and follow Him. God called Elisha while he was plowing the 12 yokes of oxen. And these people were busy, occupied with their own agenda until Jesus spoke the gifting and calling of God over their life. And God's calling and gifting are for every believer. No one is being missed out. And so first, God created you with a free will. And God will not violate your free will. He will lead, He will guide, He will arrange the circumstances. He will steer the boat, but we still have to make a choice. And so when God called Jeremiah, he has to respond. And then after he's responded, the rest is history. And then the Bible recorded the impact his message brought to his own nation. And so the surrounding nation were being impacted. And then even 3,000 years later, the book of prophecy, Jeremiah, still speak to us today. And then number two, God desire a positive response to his gifting and calling in your life. The ball is in your court. The bat is in your hand. And whether you have a strong inclination to prophesy, to be his spokesman or mouthpiece, or to be in the help ministry, or to teach, or to exhort, to give, or to lead, or to render mercy, whatever it is, when God asks you to major on help, do not try to major on others like teaching. When God asks you to major on teaching, do not try to major on prophecy. Romans 12 verse 3 says, for every one of us is given a certain measure of grace, and not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. If you are not sure, let others ascertain and assess what gifting you have. Ask your spouse, ask your close friend, ask your life group leaders. Number four, stay faithful and truthful to your gifting and your calling. Be who God has called you to be. Don't try to be someone else you are not. Jesus would say to you, as he said to Peter then, if I will others to be something else, what is that to you? If I call you to something, what is that to others? And so God, number five, God is calling you to exercise and to serve in your gifting. And therefore, do not neglect God's gift. Fulfill your potential in God. Find your rightful place in your calling and gifting and be part of the team. And number six, be a team member, not a lone ranger Christian. Because God wants to train us to work with one another. And only then you will go higher, you will grow, and you will be enlarged in ways that you could not imagine. And so may you stay faithful and truthful to your gifting and your calling. Amen. I trust that this message has challenged you, has blessed you, has reminded what God has given you in terms of gifting, and you are to not to neglect it, but to exercise it with faithfulness. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. Shall we stand for the enclosing song? Thank you.